All right. Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Boundary IPL podcast. This is our first episode since the season started. And I think right off the bat, Thomas, what has been your thoughts on how this season has transpired so far?
It's been kind of weird. I mean, not weird in that sense, but, you know, until yesterday's game, like, I was very despondent. So maybe I'm just speaking out of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there was not the thing which I felt in the past half. That's what I would say. I don't know about you, but that's my
true
personal
thing. I think I was talking to a few other people, like in my colony and friends' parents and stuff like that. And like most people know, India is a cricket crazy country. So if you go to any house, there would be at least one person who's watching the IPL. And I think everyone had the same opinion that this season feels weird for some reason, right? Because it's a resumption. Like for example, there have been a lot of jokes on the Mumbai Indians because they typically start their season slow. So a lot of people are like, someone needs to tell them that this is a resumption. It's not a new season. So that's exactly what's been happening. And plus, I think, you know, even with Natarajan testing positive again and then him getting isolated, it kind of reminded me as to why, you know, they even stopped the IPL in the first place. And maybe I was thinking, was this resumption even necessary? In the first place, given that you know, we had to cancel a test match because of this. And
I'll tell you why it was necessary.
Because sponsors. Yeah, so, sponsors had given them money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't really give that money back, right? So,
The reason why they couldn't really cancel it or not resume with it would be, all the sponsors, they give them the money at the beginning of the season. So it's in a big lump sum, which they pay it. So they can't really back out of it. So they do it with the expectation that the entire season gets played.
Yeah.
So when that, so that's the problem which they had in the NBA bubble. They had the bubble a year or so back was because they couldn't really return the money because they've already spent the money.
Yeah.
So it's a big Mamla, and in the end, they really had to go with it. The same thing that happened with the restart in football as well. So, really, all these guys, they couldn't afford to return this money back.
True. Yeah, but I think in terms of a cricketing perspective, BCCI still is the most cash-rich nation, right? And it's not that they would end up losing money because for most people who are in the media industry, we know that the next big flagship rights that are coming up are in December, which is basically for the IPL. And it projected that it would be at least 3 to 4 times the money that they got for the last rights through Star. So if they would have cancelled this season, they would have ended up signing another lucrative 5 or 10 year contract with another broadcaster or with Star, right? So I don't know. I get where you're coming from, but in the grand scheme of things, this isn't
thing also, right?
Sorry, what?
So it's like a goodwill thing, right? If you think of it, like when you're trying to attract other sponsors or a higher bid, for example, you really want them to know that you'll fulfill the contract. So that's why they went.
At the times of COVID, these companies that are sponsoring. These events have also had to, you know, lay over a lot of people, right? And like that whole argument kind of comes in. So sometimes I feel like there are things that are bigger than cricket, but sure, the UAE still relatively safe, have an over 80% vaccination, double dose completion. So I guess it's a safer country to host it in. But yeah, I just hope this fatigue doesn't kick in to the T20 World Cup. And God bless that Sharjah pitch. I have no idea what the state of it would be when the World Cup kind of kicks in. But yeah, okay. Now getting back to the cricket, right? Where I'm just gonna like run through the matches that we've had so far, and let's just talk about the RCB Mumbai game first because that happened yesterday, and I think that's really fresh in our minds. So I think you have a lot to speak about, because I'm going to be honest, I missed the last half an hour. I had to attend a phone call. And while I was gone, the whole game got over, because I thought Mumbai were in complete control. And I just left for half an hour and I came back and it was over. So yeah, what do you have to say?
It's just carnage, you know. They just lost their collective head. That's what I would say. it's very strange to see an experienced team like Mumbai to lose their head. Like, this is the sort of collapse you expect from RCB and Punjab, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and to see it happen to Mumbai makes it even more special. And the fact that we inflicted it makes it even more special. Like, it's just like, and by the way, we completed the double over Mumbai. Something, yeah. I mean, it's a very tough thing to do. Like getting one game over them, yeah, maybe you can just talk it down to, you know, a bad day for them. But completing, like, to win two games in the season against them, that's really, like, something special, I would say. And yeah, I mean, they I don't know what is going through their heads, you know, just that. That the Herschel hat-trick was the final nail in the coffin. But they really lost their heads before that. Because, you know, they left a whole load for Pauly and Hardik to chase towards the end. So they really had to go for it, and that's how they lost their wickets like that. So, yeah, it's just like, I mean, Max, like, I don't know, like, I'm just confused by this Mumbai team. I really don't know what to expect out of them now. Like, a little part of me thinks that they will qualify because this is Mumbai, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is their bread and butter. They'll maybe chalk off four wins in the last four games and we won't remember this, and they'll probably win the title. But there's this huge part of me which thinks they may not even qualify, and it could be one of their, you know, they have these odd rough seasons in between when they're winning titles, so this could be something like that, I guess.
Right, in terms of, you know, this happening to Mumbai specifically, because they are such a champion side, you know, winning five IPLs is not for everyone, especially given that there are still three sides in the IPL that still haven't won their debut title. And
Present company included,
yeah. So the fact that they've won five times more than the both of us combined, right? It is a special thing for them, and it's okay, right? Like, I think Jared Kimber spoke about this on his power rankings video that came out this morning. And he kind of mentioned that tournaments that are really small, right? This kind of happens. Because if you even look at something like the Premier League or the NBA, there are phases in which teams have a really bad run. And that could go on for even a month. And then suddenly they'll bounce back. But the IPL is such a tournament that the tournament is just 2 months, right? So you can't afford to have over six bad games. Once you have six bad games and you've lost them, you kind of need to have a near perfect season to make it. And Mumbai have done that time and again. So if they don't do it this time, I don't think their fans should be too worried.
Yeah, we did talk to Vikram, right, for one of the previews in the first part. He literally said, I don't mind this, like the entitled little tricky.
I think that's exactly where I'm coming from as well. That I think it kind of makes things easier for them in a way, because, like, let's say they lose their next game, and I really hope they lose their next game because it's against Punjab. But if they lose their next game, they kind of have, they have 3 games left and they're on 8 points. So that kind of, it still puts them within touching distance, but it kind of gives Mahila and Zaheer Khan and Rohit Sharma that idea that, you know what, we have 3 games left. We may not make it, might as well try out, you know, different combinations and decide on who we're going to retain beyond this, because people don't really understand how close the retention is, right? Because with the rights being discussed in December, we're going to know for a fact that it's going to be 10 teams or not, even though that's, I would say 99% it's confirmed that it's going to be 10 teams. It just depends if they get the right amount of broadcast money in, so that, you know, teams don't end up losing money, because what 100 divided by 8 and 100 divided by 10 has a big difference. So they really need to up the amount of cash that's going to come into the league. And then once that's decided and everything's in place, we could be seeing an auction as early as January. And we're already approaching October, right? So teams have about 60 days to have their plans in place. It does help that they have a little mini IPL that gives them a little idea as to who they can retain and can't. So I think Mumbai should, actually all teams should take that track. But given that Mumbai aren't looking in the best place, they should probably start thinking earlier, because like we discussed in our first episode, I think this decision is the hardest for the Mumbai Indians. So the more amount of time they have and the more amount of games they have to look at things from that perspective, obviously it shouldn't be told to the players that, you know what, hey, Ishan Kishan, you need to play well and you need to turn your season around or we're not going to retain you. They shouldn't be thinking of it from that perspective, but you know, with Akash Ambani and Nita Ambani and Jayavardhane and Zaheer Khan and Sachin Tendulkar, all of them should have like a meeting privately. And I'm pretty sure they probably have, because Mumbai Indians is a franchise that probably thinks ahead. And they should kind of make those decisions now rather than leave it for later. But yeah, do you have anything else to add on this game specifically, or we can just move to the CSK KKR?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't talk much about the RCB side of it, yeah.
I mean, we did in person, so I feel like I mixed those things up. But yeah, I think Ashar Patel hat-trick,
we have to talk
amazing.
About Maxwell.
Oh yeah, Maxwell. Dude, you know what? I actually wanted to send you this after the game got over, but Maxwell, that kind of performance of Maxwell kind of made me understand how our RCB fans feel when KL Rahul does what KL Rahul does. Because I was like, what the hell? Why don't you do this for us? We gave you so much time. You played like what, 5 seasons for us, and he's yeah. But it was a special performance with bat and with ball, mind you. He added yeah. some.
It
really
reminded me of peak UV, you know, in a way.
I think Yuvraj did have a similar performance, but RCB ended up losing that game, so I don't want to bring that up. Ditto performance, like, you know, made 50. I think he got a 3-wicket haul in that game, but then James Faulkner for Rajasthan kind of stole it. But yeah, it was very similar to that. And sure, Maxwell's not going to have these performances with the ball every day.
Hands and ways, they bat and bowl. That's the opposite game.
Yeah. That's really cool. But I get it, right? Like, even Yuvraj wasn't like a massive rank turner of the ball. He was wicket to wicket. He would, you know, he would get the ball to drag on a little bit because his action was like that. And so does Maxi. And then they're similar kind of batsmen, like, you know, the number 4, number 5 position, and they come in to like really change the game. I mean, it's a pretty good comparison to have in that sense. And I also
they've
want
had
to give
colorful, I mean, or incomplete IPL careers as well, you know, in a way.
I mean, Yuvraj, I feel like he did have kind of like an incomplete one, but he got the actually very similar now that you think about it. Even in terms of auction money, they both kind of have teams breaking the bank for them. And it's a similar thing. But Yuvraj had that title with Sunrisers. So we don't know when Maxwell's going to have his. He did have a Champions League title though with Mumbai. Or was he part of the winning squad without playing a game? I may have to look that up. But not as a I would say frontline player. One more special shout out I wanted to give out was to Yuzvendra Chahal. I felt he was really good, and this is one of those performances where he's kind of looking at the selectors, and if, you know, come mid October when the IPL is getting over, if Ashwin and Chakravarti haven't had as much of an impact, or even Rahul Chahal, right, then we would be a little iffy if maybe it was the right decision in the end. But I think what's done is done. He can just show his quality right now.
And in all three games, he bowled quite well. Like, actually.
Yeah, definitely. I think he does have a little chip on his shoulder right now that he was left out. And I actually really hope that, you know, the likes of even Shreyas Iyer is a travelling reserve, but like him and Shikhar Dhawan and Chahal, they do well in this IPL, because that kind of boosts our bench strength. And then just in case, like, God forbid that shouldn't happen, but just in case someone gets injured before the IPL, we know that we have replacements who are in the UAE. I mean, before the T20 World Cup. And yeah, I think we shouldn't spend way too much time on one game. CSK KKR. First thoughts. What was your reaction?
Weird, you know. Just so freaking weird, you know. Like, CSK has it controlled. Until they lost the openers, they were so much in control of the entire game. Mm-hmm. When the KKR innings, even though KKR bounced that score, it didn't look like they were completely, you know, gonna run away with it because of how tight the CSK bowlers were bowling. And you know, until the openers something just weird happened, and then just Jaddu just rescued it in the end in the penalty bit over. Yeah. Now, literally, his 22 runs in that over were just insane.
No, but it was fascinating and absurd at the same time that Jadeja hit 22 off Prasidh Krishna, and then Sunil Narayan, who's not at the peak of his power, sure, he bowled a really good over, but he didn't kind of ball balls that were, I would say they were single gettable kind of balls, right? You can get singles off them, but yeah, we would get to another match that was similar and had a similar the target to defend in the last over. But yeah, four runs of the last over, the fact that it went down to the last ball was pretty absurd. And the thing about these double-header games, right? You don't even get enough time to process what just happened, because literally the game gets over and 2 minutes later you get pushed onto the live telecast of the next game. And you're just like, what just went down? But I think it's
for me especially. Yeah. Like I was watching. I watched till like 10 over mark of CSK innings, and I thought they're going to romp away with it. So I switched to the F1 race, which is going on simultaneously at the same time. Because that was
so you didn't watch the last over.
No, I missed the second half. You know, because I mean, I had that expectation. You know, that they would do it. You know, that CSK would do it. They didn't. And I was just catching that, you know, the commentary on Crick Info. And then I just thought the reason why CSK were winning. So I opted not to see. But I was so curious to see the last over. So I wanted to see the last ball.
Okay.
And then they won in the end. It was just like my nazar was enough.
Yeah. No, I think they just needed an RCB fan to look at Jadeja and then they'd win. You know, it wasn't him that got the winning runs either way. I think it was CSK kind of did show a lot of resilience, and you know, the fact that, like you said, right, I think they had 26 required of 2 and they still went on to win that. That kind of shows their fighting spirit this season, which is why they are, you know, top of the table right now. They have a positive 1.069 net run rate and they have 16 points. So, I think they are through. They are, sorry, what did you say?
Yeah, the net run rate is the best in the competition, right?
Yes, yes, the best in the competition. Yeah, it's a full 0.4 more than Delhi's.
Yeah.
And if you add a 0.4 to any of the bottom teams, they'd be looking really good. So that's the thing. Like, I think Chennai have really turned their season around. And both me and Thomas have to admit now that we got it wrong. I mean, I did mention that if you go back to our Chennai preview episode.
You at least have some, you were very clever in how you put it. I was a tank, I thought they'd win. So, but for me, I was very negative. So,
I mean, I wasn't fully on the fence either, if you see, right? Because what I said, I didn't say that they'd have a mediocre season, right? Like, that could have been a distinct possibility as well. But it's just something about Mahendra Singh Dhoni. If he gets his plans right, he gets it really right. And that's like 80% of the times. But the 20% of the times when he doesn't get it right, we really suffer. Like, even as Indian cricket, right? Like, he would, if you take all the test series that we had abroad, like, when his plans wouldn't go right, we would like get whitewashed in a series. But then when we get it right, yeah. we'd win a test in Lords, which is what he does really well. So I kind of was looking at it from that perspective, but good on CSK, especially for that. And I think even KKR, barring this game, they've really kind of, they're 2-1 now, if you think about it. That's a pretty good record.
I've been super impressed by KKR. Like, impressed out of everyone in this, whatever this mini bubble or whatever this is.
Presumption.
Yeah, something. Like the CSK really remind me of the bubble Lakers last year. They just give me so many ideas. I think CSK is going to win this whole thing also. It's just like my early tip, you know. I mean, I really don't see them losing. Like, they would really need to bottle it, I guess, to lose it. I'm guessing, you know. But yeah. It's thing, but upon the game, how they I think they've been helped by Pat Cummins not being there. That's my thing, but yeah.
I mean, if you look at last season, right? I think Oyn Morgan and Pat Cummins were kind of their major pain points in terms of foreigners who weren't performing. And one's your highest paid player, and the other is your captain. So, like, kind of undroppable from a commercial and a strategic standpoint, right? So now that they can get Lockie Ferguson in, they can even maybe experiment a little bit with Shakib. Look at a Ben cutting as an option, because they are doing well. Sure, they lost that last game, but I feel like at least in terms of how they look, it looked like a mini hiccup. And the fact that they took it down to the last ball after having just four to defend, they should take some positives out of that game. And I think Venky has just been... Yeah,
they have a big advantage. Like, so they, along with Mumbai, they're among the four teams with 8 points, right?
Yeah. So
they have the advantage of their last four games. Excepting Delhi. The teams which are perceived as weaker than them. So, okay. I mean, they have that advantage. You know, like, they got through the tough part, you know. And they came out 2-1 out of that, and they boosted their chances again. That's what I see.
Yeah, I think they have, and more than weaker teams, I feel like what KKR have to their advantage is they are playing teams that are directly competing for that third, fourth slot with them. Right. So that or kind of really play. Helps them. Yeah, I mean, I said third or fourth because 2 points isn't too much, and KKR have a positive net run rate. So, I'm just saying. Okay, and it's RCB, so you never know, man. Sorry.
Four points.
That's what I meant. But that's the thing. It's what? It's four games? So, you never know. It's up and down. I don't see any team winning, going 4-0 in the next four games. I could be proven wrong, but I did have this discussion with Thomas that I feel like, I mean, now it's looking a little unlikely, but it could be the case because a lot of the teams at 5, 6, 7, all three teams do have similar fixtures, like they're playing each other a lot of the times. So I do feel like 12 points could be enough for that fourth place, but it could, I think 14 just to be safe. Should be what people always target. And Chennai and Delhi probably just need to win one more to, you know, solidify that top two spot so that they get another shot at the final.
Yeah. I think it's a battle between both of them to, like, you know, I mean, I don't think there's anything to be gained getting first or second, right?
Yeah, nothing to be gained. It's just making sure, like they would be hoping RCB don't win three. If they win more than three, then it kind of becomes a problem for them, right? But they'd be looking to kind of get to that 20 just to be safe, so that RCB is like kept out of bay. I think that they'd just be looking at that. Okay, so now we shall move. Which was the next game? Okay, I just lost my fixture list. Oh, it was Sunrisers Punjab. Another weird batting performance, which kind of, I mean, it was a good bowling performance from both teams, I would say. But I think this is where what we discussed just pre-podcast comes in. It's about how weird a pitch Sharjah has become. from a T20 perspective. But it's kind of this, it's this slow, or I think this word was used a lot in I forgot in which series, but the word tacky. Yeah, exactly. The word tacky was used a lot for. Yeah, yeah, please. You've made a habit of interfering me, so why don't you go ahead again?
No. Like, it's just like Warner has been dropped by Sunrisers today.
Why am I not even surprised? Who's in then? Jason Roy?
Jason Roy. Jason Roy is coming.
Wow.
Just continue with your point, Kane Williamson, Abhishek,
Siddharth calls in as well. What's happening? I think they've dropped Manish Pandey. Wow, the wholesale changes, just pretty insane.
Pretty much wholesale changes.
I mean, they have nothing to lose. They're discussing their their retention policy as well right now. At this rate, I don't even think they'll retain four. They may just go with their foreigners and like one Indian, and then just be like, may not even get that one Indian. Maybe if Bhuvi's fit and he agrees to be retained. But we are on the same topic with Sunrisers Hyderabad, right? So Punjab, I think it was, in retrospect, I wouldn't say it was a batting collapse, because I feel like this was a 140 wicket. So if a team's 15 runs short, I wouldn't exactly call it like a really shambolic batting performance. I would say it was average, and that would probably come down to Rahul's 21 of 21, and then Makram's 27 in retrospect ended up being pretty key. And I think Ellis and Brar adding runner ball 18s and 12s at the end of the innings, and like you rightly mentioned when we were talking post this game, that Ellis's 6 ended up being that difference, because Punjab won by 5 runs. But yeah, I think it was a great bowling performance combined with the fact that you were playing against a team that was really low on confidence. And if in the first 3 overs you lose your 2 best batsmen, you are kind of looking at an uphill task on a slow wicket with you know, post, like once Shami was kind of done with his 3 overs, I think Sunrisers were kind of hoping for a respite, but they were getting economical bowling from Harpreet Brar and Bishnoi regularly picking up wickets. And I think barring that the third and the fourth over, Nathan Ellis actually looked pretty good on his debut.
Yeah. He looked quite decent.
Yeah. I mean, I think the fact that he could defend that final, 17, 18 runs of the final over against Jason Holder, who very clearly looked like he was banking on that last over to take them over the line. But he kind of executed some good balls, especially the wide Yorkers that he bowled, and even the last ball that he bowled, it wasn't exactly a full toss, but it kind of was under Holder's hitting arc, and he kind of restricted him from that. So yeah, just good to see him, not succumb under the pressure. But then again, Sunrisers, I think I just want to talk about the bowling performance. And Sunrisers have always been a team that banks on their bowling. But it's just their Indian middle order that fails them time and again, right? If you look at this again, if they were to win this game, if one of Williamson or Warner would have even made 10 more, right? 10 to 15 more instead of getting out for a duck, and Holder's innings stays the way it is, they would have comfortably won this game. So why is it that they always need those 3 foreigners to stand up, right? Typically, it was Bairstow, Warner and Williamson. And Manish Pandey and Priyam Garg and Abdul Samad and Kedar Jadhav, all of these Indian players would just take a back seat. And it's actually sad to see that these talented players aren't able to really deliver it for them. But now they're short on confidence. They have only one win. They're mathematically probably out of the of playoff contention. But yeah, if they can win their next 5, that does take them to 2.
No, they're officially eliminated.
Oh, are they? Mathematically, 12 points could be enough. But if that is a... But yeah, I think with a minus 0.637...
No, they're on... they have 5 games left, right?
Yeah. They can make it possibly. With 12. It's just some permutations, the combinations need to go their way. But yeah, it's looking unlikely now. But yeah, what about you? What was your thought on this game?
I mean, yeah, like Punjab surprisingly held their metal. That's just like, you know.
Yeah. No, but you know one thing about Punjab, sorry for like cutting you off, but I noticed this like a lot on social media, is that even when they're looking comfortable, right? Like pre-Jason Holder, we were looking very comfortable because we had taken the run rate up to close to 11 on that wicket, right? Required run rate.
Exactly.
So I actually thought we'd get them all out within the next couple overs and it'll be all smooth sailing from there. But we just have to ball a few loose balls, give 3 sixes in quick succession across 2 overs, and then make the match interesting. We just love doing that. Continue.
Yeah, like KL Rahul said, right? Hope the TRPs are up, you know, from past games and all.
They are.
He made some comments.
Trust me, they are. Yeah, I remember that. I saw that conference, yeah.
Like, do you want to talk about the collapse or do you want to, like, erase it from the other game?
I mean, we haven't gotten to that game yet, right? Or are we taking this team-wise in the middle of going match-wise?
Let's just go match-wise and see. You know?
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, we have the Delhi Capitals versus the Rajasthan Royals. I think this was a very straightforward game. Rajasthan missed Morris and Evan Lewis really badly. They did, I would say they balled pretty well to restrict Delhi to 154, especially through the power play, you know, getting their openers early and that kind of stuff. And their bowling seemed to kind of stand up. But then again, they lacked experience with their batsmen. Samson did get his mandatory start of the season big score. And now let's just hope he can continue. But if he continues to be the prepaid sim like the joke we had last season, it could be looking bad. But yeah, Delhi again showed why, in my opinion, Delhi is the best squad in the IPL, right? And they showed that again.
Now that Stoinis whatever.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? With Stoinis out, they could play Lalit Yadav and just play 3 foreigners, right? And when they think about it this way, Thomas, like. If any of the teams you think about, right, take 2 all-rounders that can walk into their team on a good day, right? Chris Wokes and Marcus Stoinis can both are good enough to make the playing 11, right? Like, think of two foreign players of that caliber in your team not being available and you winning the game by 33 runs after that. I don't think any team has that.
I would caveat that with, this is Rajasthan, by the way. That's one thing.
Sure.
Delhi without, Delhi without bowling, they arguably have the best bowling in the competition.
Okay. Yeah.
In terms of balance and everything.
But that, why, what are you caveating that with? Who's the better squad?
No, of course, see, I'm saying like, in this case, it didn't hurt them too much because it's Rajasthan.
Of course. Maybe, argument sake for argument. Huh? Like, I made a point and you caveated it with that this is Rajasthan. Come on, you can do better.
What I'm saying is it could hurt them later. Because, they are, the balance of the team is reliant on Stoinis. And I think he will back, but he won't bowl something like that. But then
that doesn't really help their balance, right? And I don't know. Yeah, let's see how things kind of go for them. But then again, right? Like, I feel like they have Lalit Yadav, but having Akshar and Ashwin is not the worst kind of lower middle order. Maybe they would have liked to have another. A better batsman than Ashwin, I would feel, at least in the T20 format. But yeah, let's see how things go for them. But for me, they're still the best squad. Like, sure, Chennai kind of bad people, but I don't think they have as many options that as Delhi do. But yeah, anything else to add on this game?
Yeah, pretty random. I don't think there's anything to add to this.
Yeah, me neither. Okay, now RCB CSK. Why don't you take it over?
I mean, this also is pretty run-of-the-mill, actually, if you come to think of it. Yeah, we had that great opening stand, you know, DDP and Kohli.
Yeah.
After that, I mean, after we bottled it from there, I kind of knew we would lose the game. You know, one more thing. I just need you to make me understand what is the concept of a Hasaranga. I really don't know. You were just like...
No, I don't know what are the concept of all the replacements that you've got. Like, I don't mean to be harsh to George Garton. Because I've not seen too much of him. But the rest of them,
don't worry, you'll get a chance.
Yeah, the kind of wholesale changes you guys make. You're Punjabing it now, but I really hope Punjab stick to the team they have. But yeah, you guys have been, in three games you've made, kind of more than two changes, I think, every game.
Yeah, and the second game especially, like, we just randomly chucked out all there.
And yeah, I didn't understand that.
Yeah. Like, and yesterday we finally dropped the laughing Ranga.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, is that a take as Hasa? Hasa laughing.
Just a waste
of space. Is that a joke, Thomas?
Yes, yeah.
Hasa is laughing Ranga.
Yeah. Wow. What I've gone for.
That's okay. I think I have nothing to say. Jose would say, nothing to say. Sorry, that's a Chelsea fan's reference from his last interview before he got sacked. But yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, I was just so frustrated by that game more than anybody else. Like, I mean, Daniel Christian had some use yesterday. I don't know what he was doing, but yeah, he was doing something. But Hasaranga, he had the most exposure out of all of these, whatever, quasi replacements.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
So the way he bowled, I felt like belting him. In that CSK game, I mean, they made it look pretty comfortable towards the end. You know, in like how yesterday, like, and exert that pressure, right?
Yeah.
With Hasaranga, every time he'll just bowl one long hop, and that pressure would be like, you know, released, you know, and
yeah,
into the innings, 9.25, something like that. I mean, I don't want to talk about this guy also. This guy's like my most wanted guy. If I see this guy, I'm going to shoot him or kick something and lose him.
I mean, to be honest, Tim David wasn't super special either. And you were kind of backing him.
Yeah, he lasted how many balls? 3 balls? And yeah, I mean, his impact was very short. But I mean, he had like 8 overs, I think 7 overs across the first 2 games since his assumption.
Yeah.
And he didn't say literally nothing he did. Like, he just gave away, like, I don't know, I don't want to be reminded about the dual Kobe languages.
No, but I feel like we need to talk about Chennai here as well, right? Because sure, the bowling wasn't spectacular from RCB in this game specifically. And even the batting, you guys kind of got the platform. And this showed the vulnerabilities, I would say, of the new Sharjah wicket. That it is this sticky wicket where 150 is a competitive score. Provided your bowling team knows that. I feel like the RCB team didn't know that. They're like, oh shit, we only have 150. If someone would have told them that, you know what, it's a difficult wicket to bat on. So just go in with that approach. Don't think that a good ball will get edged.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Because that
won't happen. I don't know about that. You know, yesterday, the mentality was completely different. I don't know, maybe True. they they put that mentality in yesterday, realizing the mistakes of Friday. But I don't know. Maybe that is the case. But it is completely different. Like,
yeah,
even
yeah.
though like Mumbai had gotten to that good start, you know, like, I don't know. I felt that we were bowling in the right area.
Yeah, true. And I feel like, again, Chennai have been that one team, even better than, they've done this better than Delhi, I feel like. When they have a lot of adversity, they still end up doing well. And when they're doing well, they make sure they're doing well. Even if you can question the four runs of six balls and taking it to the last ball, but they made sure they won that game. I mean, when you look at the points table later, that's going to say 2 points as well. And given the kind of net run rate they had, they wouldn't have benefited by winning that ball with six balls to spare or on the last ball. So, yeah, I think kudos to them. They've done a good job. And yeah, again, like you mentioned, run of the mill, straightforward game. So I think we'll move on to the KKR.
Like the way we bowled, it made it like that. You know, it was a challenging total, the 150, and
yeah. We saw it in the middle. Yeah, but I don't think your team knew that in general, that it was a challenging total. Because I didn't catch this the full game live, but I watched the highlights, and even from the batting perspective, right? You had that really good, 70, 80 run start. And then post that, it didn't
look actually, like it went past 100, right?
Yeah, it didn't look like it was kind of communicated to the batsmen that, you know what, we've gotten this great start. Let's just take it a runner ball. Like, let's try to make sure we get a single. And if there's any odd loose ball, dispatch that for a boundary. And let's look at 160, 165 for sure. And then ball with that mentality as well. I feel like the team in general, not only the bowling, the team in general didn't gauge that right. But I don't really blame them either because it's Sharjah, right? It's up and down in that sense. But now it's kind of clear. But yeah, let's go to KKR because I don't want to kind of KKR MI because I don't want to leave out any of the games. That'll be like an injustice to the fans. So yeah, KKR MI. I don't actually remember too much about this game, but I do remember this was one of the early games where we kind of realized that this Venky Iyer dude is pretty special. And KKR have kind of shaken off that weird jittery start that they had last season. And for some reason, it seemed like they had some kind of swagger and it was reinstated and kind of confirmed by this game because we didn't think that start that they had against RCB was a fluke, right? They went out with intent and they've done a good job. And I think, like you mentioned earlier, I feel like, again, Cummins not being there has really helped them, even with this game. But yeah, what was your take?
I mean, this was like the thing which got them over the hump, you know, because Mumbai is like their bogey team.
Yeah.
Mumbai literally has the wood over them. I think they won only five games. Like including the Sun, they won only five games over Mumbai over the history of that. Yes. That's what it is.
Okay.
Like literally, it's like literally whenever they face, like even Gautam Gambhir said it, right? Like Rohit Sharma loves Italy.
He used to
strategize against any particular batsman. But when it was Rohit Sharma, they would like have these long meetings to figure out ways to like get rid of them. Like this is just like they got over that 90 whatever block or something, which I mean kudos to them. And the first game in the first game against RCB, I had not the foggiest idea who this guy was. Like you know what he reminded me of?
Please don't say Venky Mysore, because for some reason I thought they were related.
Yeah, no, like, if you play FIFA and I play football now, after a few years and all, like,
I know what you're talking about.
So they'll regenerate.
These random players.
Towards the future when you're like 15, 20 years into the game, like, they're basically called Legion. That name, the Venkatesh Iyer, that reminded me of that.
True, no exactly. But he's proven his worth, you know, because he can ball a bit as well. And he's batting with a lot of intent. I mean, he's a tall, tall guy, like compared to like an batsman, right? He has these Jason Holder levers. I won't say the same height, but from an Indian perspective.
I, I, Yeah, in a way, he is similar to like DDP in a sense, you know, like.
True, but he seems like a buffer DDP, like in terms of his build as well. Like DDP is a little lean.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
True, but yeah, he's been a revelation for them. I think he's kind of. I really hope in the future games he takes some pressure off Shubman Gill because we still haven't seen the best of him. I mean, I think the RCB game, he was okay, but that they were chasing like a really low score. But post that, he's been okay-ish. With Rahul Tripathi and Venki Iyer doing so well, I hope Shubman Gill just comes into his own. But yeah, anything else you wanted to add on this game? Because I feel like we've already touched on Mumbai's vulnerabilities already and it kind of continued into this game.
Yeah, I mean, we're going backwards. Yeah, but
I think now that we've kind of covered all the teams, doing this match review would be a little easier because we've already spoken about them once. So for most teams, it will be either a continuation or just building on some of the problems that they've had so far. And then we have Delhi Capitals and Sunrisers. Again, a run-of-the-mill kind of game. Sunrisers got an underwhelming 134. Yeah. And Delhi chased it with 8 wickets to spare, right? Like it's, and that kind of helped them boost their net run rate further. And same problems again, right? Sunrisers short on confidence. The batting did not step up. And when you have that kind of score against a squad like Delhi, the fact that they even took it to the 18th over, it kind of shows that Sunrisers do have like a pretty credible bowling lineup. But yeah, what were your thoughts?
I really don't have anything to say because like, I mean I love Delhi's bowling attack. There's a lot of there's the fire and then there's the guile and like it's just like they're just perfectly balanced. Those are their lacking. It's just like you know they have the two big South African school just like you know knock you over and with the pace and and Aresh Khan also is no slouch and he'll also come in and there's no respite from him. There's no easy bowler which anybody can target.
And I feel like with all these international players, right? Like with Nokia and Akshar Patel and Ravichandran Ashwin and Rabada, Aresh Khan's kind of benefited from that. Because you know the when they're facing these four bowlers with their caliber, you can't really put them away. And when Aresh Khan's overs come in, I'm guessing the mentality with which the team's going with is that you know we can really get after him, but they can't because he's a pretty good bowler in his right. Like I think he'd even made
pretty canny actually. Pretty
small. Yeah. So that's the thing, like it's benefited him because you think you can get him, but you can't. And then because you had that collective pressure from all five bowlers that, oh my God, who do I hit now? And that kind of leads to collapses for the teams, which is why I'm kind of glad we played them twice now. And just don't have to play Delhi if we don't make the playoffs. It's a good side. I think not too much to add for games that were kind of this one-dimensional. Now this I'm going to get a little detailed because it's the Rajasthan-Punjab game, right? So basically, the fact that we restricted them to 185 in the first innings, I felt was a great, great effort because they were 160 in 16 overs, and then those last four overs from Shami and from Arshdeep, they were, I would say, exceptional in terms of death bowling. Right, you had Arshdeep picking up a fifer, and Shami finishing with a 3-wicket haul with like I wouldn't say really economical, right? Economical, I think that's the word. Bowling, but because of the kind of just really good batting in the first 10 overs. That it didn't really reflect on their figures, but they did end up getting those wickets to kind of slow things down. And then when we went into bat, it just looked so comfortable, right? Because KL Rahul and Mayank Agarwal set the platform. The person we have discussed so much on this podcast before Punjab season restarted was Aidan Markram, and he kind of proved himself. He looked really good. Nicholas Puran looked okay till that last over that I don't want to mention, and then suddenly it just collapsed. Right? They had 8 wickets in hand, and they needed 4 of the last over, and they managed to lose that. And I'm not taking anything away from Karthik Tyagi. That was good bowling, but like the Chennai KKR game, getting 4 singles should not be a task. Like just look at what Lord Thakur did, right? Like he got a ball near his pads, he saw the gap behind. He just flicked it over and ran 3 because it was going to Varun Chakravarti, who's not the best fielder in the world. And I don't know, Punjab could have done something similar. I mean, if you look at these things, right? They were these things about, I think about Mustafizur bowling a back foot no ball that was not checked. And then later on Twitter, there were a lot of people ranting about how that was a no ball. Then you had Deepak Hooda, I mean, running across to play one wide ball and missing it, and then playing another wide ball and edging it. Kind of makes you think that you know, Fabian Allen kind of played this role for West Indies, you know, to come and finish games. And taking nothing away from Hooda, because he had that really good game against Rajasthan at the start of the season. But I think you should back the international player, which is what we didn't do last year either with Maxwell. I feel like a good 70% of this game, Punjab were on top. I would say the 25% of the first 7-8 overs, Rajasthan really got us. But then when we started getting those wickets, we pulled things back. And then that last 6 balls. But yeah, what about you? I want to know your take from a neutral standpoint.
Yeah, I remember telling you, like, you told me, right, when the last over is about to be bowled. Like,
yeah.
I can't, what was your...
I didn't get a good feeling because it was the last over.
Yeah, and I told chill. I literally told you, chill. They possibly can't bottle it from here.
Yeah.
And my first reaction after you guys bottle it, I was like, what the fuck you bottle job?
Yeah.
Sorry for the French, but yeah. Like, seriously, like, I was just shocked. This is like very Spursy thing, you know. Like I just like, and then like after I saw the highlights, I just started laughing, you know. Like, how is it possible? Like, fucking Deepak Hooda, what is he doing? Like, what is he doing?
I mean, it's not been the best week, I would say, for the two. You know, Baroda teammates who have been fighting incessantly, which is Krunal and Deepak Hooda, they both seem to, they really need to get their act together, I would say, the both of them. Because Deepak Hooda wasn't extremely special against Sunrisers either. I think he got into double figures, but I think he scored about a 12 odd, which in retrospect was a good contribution, I would say, but not the best. But yeah, I think the only thing that really pissed me off about this game was the fact that if we would have just knocked singles around, we would be at fourth place right now, above KKR, right? Because we would have 10 points. And that would make things a lot more comfortable for Punjab. But I don't think they like comfortable, do they? They just want to take it down to the wire.
Yeah, and we made this comparison. No, they are the Phoenix Suns.
But we need our Chris Paul for next season, so we can at least attempt to make the finals.
Yeah, just one
maybe
thing,
like
before
a Paul
we,
out
one from Punjab.
Yeah.
You just say, like, I mean, like, I understand it was in your, you vented it out in your whatever, in your frustration.
My rant.
That,
yes.
Yeah, it was right after the game. You said, like, no, I hope, like, I mean, KL Rahul will be damn frustrated and he may want to go back to R3. And just wanted to go over this thing. Like, the retention thing, the player has to accept, right?
Yeah, no, so let me tell you this, okay? So, I kind of said that when I was really angry, and I said it to another friend who's an RCB fan. So, I don't want RCB fans to get super excited, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you why I think this is not possible. Firstly, yeah, yeah. The interview that I saw post the game against who did we play? Sunrisers. I think he loves the franchise too much to do that. Okay, sure. I mean, I get it. I'm from Bangalore, and if I was in this place, I would probably consider that. But let me like run over the two things that he said. Like he kind of just kept reiterating about how much he trusts Harshdeep, which I feel like most captains will, the way he's balling right now. And then he spoke about Harpreet Brar. Like he told him that, you know, ball in these areas, and Harpreet Brar's like, so I'm going to translate this later, but he said, Paji, aap chinta mat karo, main run nahi dunga. Which is basically that brother, just like elder brother is what Paji is. That just relax. I'm going to be economical and not give any runs. So just seeing him speak that way, like it. And if you think about it, right, Harshdeep and Harpreet Brar are through and through KL Rahul players. They have debuted under his captaincy, and they are flourishing under his captaincy. So I feel like he's built something special here. And when he goes to RCB, sure, Kohli won't be captain, but who would be the face of the team? It's still going to be Kohli. It's going to be kind of like KKR right now. Like if you look at the JioFiber ads, it's Narayan, Russell and Dinesh Karthik. Morgan's not in the picture. Right? So I feel like it would be like a son returning home, but I feel it'd be a little bit like Kevin Durant going to Golden State. It's still going to be Steph Curry's team. So plus another variable in this is that it's not a straightforward trade, right? You're going to have two teams who are going to come in with progressively more money than the teams who have retained four players.
Exactly.
So if he goes into the auction, he could be playing for a Gujarat or a Lucknow or a Ranchi or something. So there's no surety when you go into the auction. Exactly. So and I feel like he's making 11 crores a season right now. And I'm pretty sure adjusted for inflation, they would be paying the best player over 15 or 15, right? So if he continues to get the captaincy and Kumble stays and like, you know, the retentions have Mayank Agarwal, who's his best friend, and all of those variables, I think he would end up staying. It also depends on where we finish this season. If we magically enter the playoffs and we have a good run, I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think Kumble is going anywhere either. They just need to focus on buying a little more all-rounders to have some depth and balance. Otherwise, I think they're a pretty solid team with the bowling. And I would say this even as a neutral because I cover sport professionally, right? Like just seeing how Shami is bowling and Brar is bowling and Bishnoi is bowling, Harshdeep, even Nathan Ellis looks like the one variable. He's kind of like the Avesh Khan. Let's just hope he does well. But the bowling is doing well. The top order is okay. Pooran and Makram, I think they looked in good nick up till that last over. So, I think there are a lot of things going in their way. So, I don't think that could happen. But if it does happen, don't you think there are too many variables for it to happen? Because it's an auction, right? You don't know what can happen with the dynamics.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't know how much money Kohli will end up taking, right? If you're retaining Kohli, like if he does some drama like last year saying, I'm still your star player, pay me 2 crores more, there's no way you can buy him because they would be teams like Sunrisers who are run on like frugal budgets and they do so well. Same with Rajasthan pre-Chris Morris. Even Punjab, they do really well to save money. So they'd have a lot more money to target these kind of players. So I think the only way this happens is if next year, you know, Rahul's retained. And then Kohli's like, you know what, I'm stepping down from IPL altogether. And then in the trade window, kind of they come to a deal where Punjab's like, you know what, give us, I don't know, Jameson and Siraj and take KL. Something like that. But yeah, that's also unlikely. There are too many dynamics that need to go in RCB's favor for that to take place. But I could be proven wrong. It's the
IPL. I'm just asking out of curiosity, like not to like poke any flames, but yeah, I just wanted to. From a perspective, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you asked another question that it depends on if the player wants to be retained. Of course, yes. Because if you think about it, the player's consent is like probably the biggest deal breaker in this sense, right? Because that's probably why Chahal and Rahul didn't get retained is because they would have... So to put the math in perspective, because you continue to pay De Villiers 12, so there was no budging there, and there was Kohli who got two more with 17. Okay. And the budget that the teams were allowed, if I'm not wrong, was 30 in total. So it was 15, 12. No, no, it wasn't 30. It was a little more. It was 15-12-9 or 15-12-8. One of those. I'm guessing it would have been 8. That would make a total of 35 because 36 is like a weird number. And it would be surprising for some people that Bumrah has been making 8 throws in the IPL. But he's probably worth double that. The kind of bowling he has in T20. But I guess it does depend on the kind of stability a franchise has. And then again, with Mumbai Indians, you know, the richest Indians there, we don't even know if all of these payments are black, white, whatever. We don't know. Not going to get into that. But too many dynamics. But yeah, from
so a lot of variables need to get in place, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, just for RCB fans, let me break this down, okay? So, who else in Punjab's team is worth 15? I don't think there's anyone else in our team who's worth 15.
Exactly.
Right? Right? So, if we don't retain Rahul, it's very likely that we go in with a clean slate. All right? Because if we retain like a Mayank or a Shami, we'd get them like we retained Akshar back in 2016 for 6.5 crores, but 15 was deducted from our purse. So what would happen is a team like Punjab go into, let's just say ballpark, I think the auction money this year could be more because it's 10 teams. So I'm taking it as 100, right? So a team like Punjab who retain just one player go in with 85. And I think RCB would retain 2 minimum, but I would say 3 at least. So then you go in with 60. So then who's to say that RCB even have enough to buy him, right? It's just an absurd amount of variables. But yeah, I think Dale Steyn making that comment is more from nostalgia. And the fact that RCB are desperately looking for a captain right now because Kohli's already announced it. But yeah, do you want to discuss that after we finish the rest of the teams? I think we have what? KKR, RCB, which is...
Yeah, I think we have one good thing, one other topic, right? That thing there. In
but okay, let's just quickly run through the first four games, all right? First two, actually. You had CSK Mumbai. I think, again, CSK kind of had a batting collapse to start, but again, they showed their resilience and Mumbai continued to do what they've been doing so far in the tournament, which is not capitalizing and winning the big moments, which is what happened again. And CSK, sure, great bowling once again. Low scoring game to start with, but I think, 156 was a decent total when you have a captain like Dhoni, you know, he can work it out there. But what did you have to say?
Yeah, and
then maybe transition naturally into the KKR-RCB game after that.
Yeah. We have to applaud Gaikwad. He was very sensible with how he
I just want to put it out there. He's the favorite for the emerging player. And if we go back to April, I would like to go back to our predictions. I'm just saying.
Not if Avesh Khan has anything to say about this, but yeah.
I think Avesh Khan's over the age limit, if I'm not wrong.
No, he's there in that.
Really? Okay, let's see. Yeah. I mean, he's a bigger favorite than Shah Rukh Khan, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I said Shah Rukh Khan, right?
You said Shah Rukh
Khan. Did I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, and where is he? Did he come to
the bench, by the way? He's there. I saw him taking towels and water.
Why is he not playing, by the way? I mean, I think
because they trust Huda more right now and Huda can give them an over or two with the ball.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify all that. Yeah, it is a strange. But yeah, my shout was out the window. But yeah, Gaikwad, I'm super impressed by the guy. And last year I just thought of him as COVID guy, but now he's become like proper.
Yeah,
like a proper guy, you know. Like, and it's just like super impressed with him, and I can see him being in the Indian team, you know, especially with. At least in the T20 format, I think he and, like, in the future, if you want to, like, mix things up, I think he and Devdutt Padikkal are more favorites rather than Shubman Gill.
Yeah. For sure. I think in the T20 format, 100%.
Yeah. Now, maybe in the other formats, they need to show it for the Ranji teams and maybe in the A teams and all that. But they both are, like, classical batsmen. And they don't look as if they're looking to smash every ball. They're playing like proper good cricketing shots. And I like that, yeah. You know, like it's pleasing to see. And he has a proper symbiotic relationship with Paf as well, and they complement each other quite well. Also, one of the more nicer opening stands, you know, except for Dhawan Shaw, probably.
Yeah.
And even Kohli, DDP to an extent.
Yeah, I love how you missed out two players who are in the top five, which is Agarwal and KL, but it's okay, Thomas. You know, actually, yeah, this is one shout that I wanted to make. I feel like Mayank Agarwal could be a really good captain for RCB. Because he shares a really good relationship with Kohli. They were part of the same, I think they weren't, they were part of the same
team. He hit the first 100.
He didn't hit the first 100. They played together because Agarwal used to open with Gale and Kohli used to play three. And I think that was the RCB team for like...
I remember one Mayank inning, he hit like 60, 70 odd.
No, I feel like he could be a good captain. You know, Kohli naturally moves down to three. You have Devdutt and Mayank who already have opened multiple innings together for Karnataka. Opening together. Mm-hmm. And then I think that could be a much better option because Mayank is like the super chilled out guy who kind of does not need the spotlight. I'm not saying KL does. But KL kind of attracts the spotlight more than Mayank does. But yeah. Sorry, continue. Maybe talk about the game now, the KKR RCB game.
Yeah, there's just a terrible thing, you know. I just lost it, you know. I let out a few expletives in my house and all that. Super frustrated. And I almost smashed the remote and it's just like I was just so fucking pissed. Like it was just like, and then I saw my first glance of Laughing Ranga. It just I don't know. Like he was okay. Like I gave the caveat that the total was not enough for him to do much. But yeah, that started my irritation towards him. And then the Chennai game just like it came to a real head. And when I see that guy, and he's like literally has a permanent smirk on his face for some reason.
True. He does
as if he knows something that we don't know. That irritates me even more.
Not too much to kind of dissect into this game. It's all the. That's one good thing. I think in terms of the mentality of the teams, right? It's kind of been consistent, barring RCB, I would say, because they kind of had a dominant win yesterday. But then again, you're one of the few.
I think they've improved as the tournament has gone.
Yeah, exactly. But I would say 90% of the teams have been up and down. Up and down. They've been. Yeah, up and down in the sense that...
Either up or down.
Exactly. So, but yeah, what was the thing that you wanted?
Maybe Punjab also, you guys.
I'll tell you why. I feel like if you divide the tournament into 100%, right? I feel like we have been on top in the games that we have played 65% of the times. And then we have Punjabbed it. So we've continued where we were at the start of the season. But yeah, what did you wanted to touch upon? I don't exactly remember what you wanted to touch upon.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we had this mini debate. I mean, it's not a debate.
I remember this now.
The thing, that going for more established. It was after which game, really? Was it? Which game was it after?
I think this was...
It was after the Chennai game, the Chennai RCB game.
Yeah. We spoke about Tim David and Laughing Ranga.
Yeah.
So I think what my... Okay, I'll present my argument first, okay? So, I can only think of one or two players at the top of my head who... did not have any exposure to... Now, when I say Indian cricket, I mean the IPL, the already kind of... The non-existent but then existent Champions League T20 and playing tours in India, right? I count these three. When I say Indian cricket, I count these three, right? So, if you haven't had exposure to any of these three, if a player who has not played in the IPL before, has not played a Champions League T20 game in India against an IPL opposition, and a player who hasn't toured with his country and done, I won't say exceptionally well, but averagely well, okay? I feel like those players should kind of be, we should steer clear of them in the IPL unless you have six foreign players that are solid, and then you have two players that you can experiment with, like someone like a Marco Janssen for MI, something like even Sunrisers kind of kept Fabian Allen in the squad, even Punjab have kept him because he's a talent, but we don't know what he's all about yet. So the only two exceptions that I can think of in recent times that did not kind of be part of this group and still do well were Glenn Maxwell in 2014. Mind you, that was also because the first six games were in the UAE and that was like 80% of his success. He did have two good innings in India, but that was like kind of from the momentum from there. And the other player is Rashid Khan. And if you think about it, if I was to make a T20 team of the last decade, Maxwell and Rashid Khan feature on it just because of what they've achieved. So it was like these players were destined for greatness and that's why they did well in India. But if you look at any other, like, you know, these experimental players, like you look at the ones that RCB invested in with Timal Mills. Do you remember Timal Mills?
Yes.
And then you have, we've had our fair share with, Jai Richardson and Riley Meredith last season. Not to be harsh to them, but sure, they are going to come to, and Jai, mind you, has played in India before, and I was going through his ODI numbers. He's gotten Kohli out twice, but he still did not end up doing well. So it's not everyone's cup of tea, is what I feel. Even someone like a Nicholas Puran is in his third season, and he's like, a lot of people talk about if they were to build a team for the next 10 years in T20 cricket, Nicholas Puran and Rashid Khan would be their first two picks, right? I remember Kevin Peterson saying this, yeah. I think during the 100, if I'm not wrong. So like someone like him, who's like already made such a big name for himself in world cricket, and he's even vice captain in the ODI or the T20 side, if I'm not wrong. So he's doing so well, and he's not established himself in the IPL yet. So I feel like the IPL should continue to reward players like Faf du Plessis, right? Who has been around for so long. And sure, South Africa is not rewarding him. But if he doesn't get retained next year, I feel like he really should come back into the league. Which is why I was impressed with us getting Aidan Markram ahead of David Malan, because David Malan did not have as much exposure to Indian cricket. While Aidan Markram has played some cricket at least here, and the fact that this leg was in the UAE and he has been in a good nick of form, that's a good selection. And then Ellis is our experimental correction, while Adil Rashid is another person who's done well in these subcontinent conditions. So I was kind of happier with these picks in retrospect now, having the information and this opinion that I formulated in my head over the last week, compared to, you know, experimenting with a Timal Mills or a, what's his name, Sheldon Cottrell. Right, just have one good World Cup and then people kind of go crazy for these kind of players. So yeah, that was my take. I think Jofra Archer is another one who's done well. But then again, Jofra Archer is like a top three, top four limited overs bowler in the world. So unless you're of that caliber, right, you're like, to put things in an NBA perspective, you're like a lottery top three pick. Don't think people should invest as much financially and in terms of the importance that those players would bring to your team, unless you're an established player in some form in Indian cricket per se. Because I know a lot of, even you question this, and maybe some listeners who have gotten through to this point would question the fact that Pollard came to Mumbai and did well immediately. No, he did not. He had a Champions League T20 season where he did really well just before Mumbai got him in. So they kind of saw his audition of him doing well for Trinidad and Tobago, who he was captaining. And then he was doing well for the West Indies team as well. So you need to take these things into your perspective before you invest in them. But yeah, what's your take on that?
I think we've seen that also with the way, I mean, even like to go for an example nearer to home, for me in RCB's case,
okay,
the auction as well, we did go for the more established name. So Maxwell,
true.
Like that is the biggest gamble which he took. Yeah. So Jameson, he he's bowled well against India. That is one.
Yeah.
Dan Christian, he's like an experienced campaigner, so we went for him. And yeah. Adam Zampa, he's bowled against India. Then who are the others? I'm missing a few names, I'm guessing. Who else is there?
Who else did you buy in the auction? I'm not able to recall.
Yeah, the lot of guys.
I think Daniel Sams, right? Daniel Sams. You had Daniel Sams.
Daniel Sams.
And you had Kane Richardson.
Kane Richardson. He's supposed.
And I think your experimental player was Finn Allen, and Josh Phillippe the season before.
Yeah.
So which I feel like is fair. Every team should have this one or two breakout players because another exception which I have missed out myself is Sean Marsh. He got the orange cap without never setting foot in India before in his first IPL, right? And he hasn't lived up to the potential he had from 2008 to now. Like is he retired now? I'm not too sure.
He plays in the Big Bash.
But he's out of the Test team as well right now.
He's still playing those whatever the Sheffield Shield, right?
Yeah, he's in Shield cricket. The Marsh brothers are legends. I'm not even joking. If you look up their numbers, it's mind-boggling what they've done. They're kind of like the Wasim Jaffers and what was his face? Amol Mazumdar. Like these kind of players who haven't really made it big. Wasim Jaffers played a few test matches for India, but he's like piled on the runs. And I think he's the highest run scorer in Ranji cricket overall. But yeah, that's besides the point. So you do have these players that end up doing well, right? I think Sunil Narine didn't have as much experience for West Indies when he came in. So you have these odd players who do well.
More than anything else, I think it needs to be the right franchise also if you're taking these gambles. So I think I've found Sunrisers, they have found relative success taking these gambles, if you think about it. Like Mustafa Zur also, I would add Mustafa Zur in that thing.
Yeah.
In that conversation, I guess. Because
from the title winning season, right?
Yeah, because he was
I think he played was there a World Cup? No, he did. I think Bangladesh toured India. But yeah, I get what you're saying. He wasn't as experienced and he had just broken into the international scene probably a year before that.
Yeah.
But then again, Mustafa Zur is a subcontinent player, right? So those conditions are a little better known.
I found like Sunrisers they're better, maybe because the management is like that, they're better able to utilize these sorts of players, if you get what I mean. Like it needs to be the right management, that's what I'm getting at. So because like Rashid Khan, maybe you could also put him in that because the subcontinent thing also there, but who else have they gotten in this? They gotten Kane Williamson wasn't established in the T20 format when they got him in.
I don't even think he was near the captaincy at that point when they initially bought him at base price. I get what you're saying from that perspective.
Then I think a Ben Cutting during the title winning season. I think there are more examples with them. And I think they are the perfect sort of franchise to take these gambles.
I think even Mumbai kind of do, right? Because they've taken these gambles, they've not gotten it right, but those players have gone on to do well. Like they did take the gamble with Maxwell because they had the money and they had the team. They already had a team, they wanted to add some firepower with Maxwell. And he went on to have a successful team.
But early years Mumbai, their stock changed from the Mumbai they are now.
Now they're heavy on scouting
for all the flashiest
teams.
And the picks and whatnot. And they've learned from that. Like over the years, if you looked at the thing, they've gone for solid, established international players. Look at it. Look at their current core: Pauly, Quinton de Kock, Trent Bolt, and who's the fourth one? They keep on rotating.
Adam Mill, Marco Jansen. Nathan Coulter-Nile.
Coulter-Nile is experienced. Jimmy Neesham is experienced. So, they are the epitome of going for that logic which you went for, taking the six experienced foreigners and two gambles.
Exactly. And you know where I feel like these gambles need to be taken more? They need to be taken more with your Indian players. Like, this exactly. is one place where I feel like I was a little disappointed with Sunrisers, because in retrospect, Kedar Jadhav probably didn't deserve to even come to this IPL. And I know I'm being harsh, but he hasn't done anything for like the last three seasons. Right? And you know, maybe if there was another Indian batsman who would have gotten a chance, sure, maybe I'm being harsh on Sunrisers as well, because they have Priyam Garg and they have Abdul Samad. And they kind
and
of...
And Abhishek hope, Sharma.
Yeah, and they hope Manish Pandey can someday do something. But yeah, these gambles need to be taken more with Indian players, and they have kind of been taking them, right? So, I think the scouting is... I know that everyone's not at Mumbai's level or at the same level which Delhi are with their trades, because I feel like a lot of the times their trades have benefited them to kind of fill gaps. Right, because I mean, they got Ashwin in the trade. Sure, he costed 7 crores, but they had some good buys. They're good in the auction, mostly, is what I would say. So you either have to be really good in the auction, or have to be really good with your scouting, and which is why.
Yeah, but I think like the current top four, like barring if you switch CSK for Sunrisers, because like Sunrisers are in that same boat, I would say, and CSK are. The current top four before the restart. So that is Mumbai, CSK, Delhi, and RCB. So CSK, they have a template wherein they go for very like grizzled veterans.
Yeah.
That's what I would go
with one Ruturaj and one Sam Curran, and the rest of them are above 28. So,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, above 30.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to take Deepak Chahar and Shardul Thakur into account, so I said 28.
Okay. Probably.
And Hazelwood as well.
So, there are things. So, you swap them out with Sunrisers. These four teams, I think they've learned to how to go for it and in that respect.
Yeah. And I feel like in terms of experimentation and just spending way too much money on like, I think Punjab are the worst in that sense. And I'm not even joking. Because we've done this time and again, right? Like, we with Cottrell, we made that mistake when they were bowlers like Coulter Nile and Adam Milne. And someone, like, you know what really frustrates me? Someone like Matt Henry goes unsold every year. And you have Riley and Jai coming over for, like, in excess of 20 crores. And someone like Chris Woakes goes for about 4-5 crores. It's like they need that balance, but they want to go for these unknown entities. It's just, it's a little frustrating, is what I would say. Like, even historically, right? I'm not sure if you remember, there was this player who played for RCB and for Punjab, and he kind of got into this scandal with a cheerleader. I'm not sure if you remember. His name was Luke Palmer's back.
Yes, I remember him.
You remember him?
He was pretty decent for Punjab, right?
Yeah, he was decent for us. But I'm saying, again, it's like Sean Marsh did well. And they just wanted to experiment. And we continued doing that, right? And then one of the experiments kind of paid off with David Miller, because he was just getting established with the South African team around that time. So, yeah, they just incessantly like to do this, where they experiment with the players. They probably need to improve on their scouting. But, yeah, I think that was a pretty fruitful discussion, even though it was a long one. Especially the ending, I quite like that. Yeah, I quite like that discussion. Hopefully, you know, teams kind of get to the same level of scouting, because Harsha Bhogle talks about this time and again, that probably the reason why the IPL is so exciting and it's so close is because all teams have the same purse, right? So sure, Rajasthan are not the most exciting team on paper, but on his day, Evan Lewis will win you a game alone. You can say the same thing about Morris, same thing about Samson. And then if you look at Sunrisers, if you have Manish Pandey batting like how he did for KKR, and you know, Warner, Williamson, Holder, Rashid Khan, Bhuvneshwar Kumar, all of them playing to their potential, you have them finishing top of the table as well. So it's so equitable on so many fronts that I feel like if just all the teams get their scouting right, and we kind of go in for more proven match winners, is what I would say, we could have tournaments where the team that's last is on like 8-10 points as well. I'm not sure if that's mathematically possible, but yeah, you know what I mean. the gap wouldn't be so large.
Yeah, okay.
I think, yeah, that's an interesting note to wrap on. Yeah,
but I think that's changed also. Like, I think all the teams also, like, they are putting more effort. And I think, I hopefully, with this new auction and with the threat of the new two, the two new teams, that would put them on their toes.
Yeah, but you know what? I really hope the two new owners are someone who has held like a franchise before. Like maybe get the Goenka people and who was it for Gujarat? I don't remember who it was for Gujarat. Sahara, Adani. Not a question. It was Adani?
No. For Gujarat, it was some big consortium. Of course, Gujarat.
Yeah. No, because if they get some ownership, I feel like they should have like a director of cricket operations who's someone who's run an IPL team before or run some sort of franchisee cricket before this. Because I don't want the two teams to be
owned by Keshav Bansal.
Ah, yes. Yeah, but rumor has it Adani is going to own one team for sure. And yeah, it's pretty probable. But yeah, I think a decent note to wrap on. We'd probably talk again after everyone's played 12, Thomas. I think that's a fair place to put us at.
That would be perfect.
So yeah, and I think that time we know who's in playoff contention and who's not. Even though a lot of the times it comes down to the last game, but we have an idea about the 2-3 teams in the mix for those final spots if things go a little crazy. But yeah, I think good note to wrap up. I've said this 2-3 times trying to wrap up, but this seems like something that always happens. We never close properly. But yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys. If you have been here, again, it's been a kind of long episode, but I feel like me and Thomas take the luxury of just keep talking. So yeah, thanks for tuning in if you're there till now. And I feel like, Thomas, that last segment was pretty good. Maybe we can cut that separately and put it on our socials, because that's been kind of silent for a while. We'll do that. We'll do that. All right. Goodbye, guys.
Bye, guys.